Welcome to the Journey Church Message Replay. If you were not able to be with us live when this message was delivered, or you just want to take a deeper dive into God's Word, this is where you can find the latest message delivered here at Journey. Be sure to click the subscribe button on the podcast service you are listening to or the video channel you are watching right now. That way you won't miss anything because you will be notified every time a new message is uploaded. Our goal here at Journey is to help you discover your real life purpose in Jesus so that you can make a difference in your world. This message you're about to hear is going to both encourage and challenge you to do just that. If you like what you hear, then go ahead and hit that like and share buttons below and leave us a comment as well. There are more ways to contact us down in the notes section. If you want to know more about us, then you just have to search Journey Church Eva online and on social media. Now, get ready and let God speak to you through this message today.
Father, be with this time, Lord. Continue to pray. Be with this word right now. Let it come forth and let it change lives all for your glory. In Jesus' name, everybody says,
amen.
Amen. How many of you have ever seen the series on TV called Alone? I've seen it advertised. I've never really watched it the whole thing through. I'm not at home sometimes when it comes on and not sure when it does, but I've seen the premise of it, and what they do is they take people and they drop them off all alone. And most of the time that I was talking to some people that watch it, they said they usually can't make it past 40 days. And whoever makes it the longest being totally alone, you have to get your own food, you have to build a shelter, you have to clothe, all this stuff. Okay, it's a survival type series. And, again, that's a challenge to be alone. But how many know when you're alone with God, sometimes you get good? Amen. It's good to have that alone time with God. But God declared right out of the beginning when he had man by himself that it wasn't good for man to be alone. And so although this little mini series is going to be called Alone, it's really the premise is I want to get you not to be alone. And with God, you're never alone. And that's true. Say amen to that. But go ahead and put the first note up today. We're going to kind of be note heavy today. So if you want to take pictures of the notes. And, of course, they're always on our replay, on our social media through Facebook and YouTube and those. But how many know we were never meant, designed, again, from Genesis on, not just with the wives, but with fellowship. We're not supposed to do our faith journey by ourselves. Amen. We were never designed by God that way to be I'll call it the gunslinger mentality. I'm just going to be the lone gunslinger and take on the world by myself. That is not a God design. You need other people. Can I have an amen there?
Amen.
And God is going to put people in our lives. God will put people in our lives they're there to help. They're there to encourage. They're there to help us grow. Now, sometimes it comes through not having a real good thing maybe with that person. Okay? But how many know even in that, God is trying to show you something? And a lot of times, if you get with God, even through the bad times with somebody, and you make it through, you're going to come out stronger because of it.
Yeah, amen.
Amen? Now, again, you get the choice whether to come out stronger in it, be a victor, or you can lay down and cry, poot and whine about it, and be a victim.
Right.
But again, everything in life is something God can teach us something if we pay attention. Can I have a better amen?
Amen.
So what I'm talking about today goes beyond just friendship and fellowship. And I want to concentrate on one main word today, and it's called mentor. I'm talking about a mentor. How many know what a mentor is? Come on. How many of you today would say, I have a mentor in my life? Very few hands go up. And that is a huge problem, not just for your life, but it's a huge problem for the kingdom of God. Because the kingdom of God was set up for mentorship. Another word for mentorship, when we talk about the kingdom of God, is called discipleship. Come on. And where there's a lack of discipleship and mentoring, then we get a church that's unmentored and undiscipled. And therefore, we get a church that falls apart like a cheap $3 suit the first time they get in anything that doesn't go their way, or somebody tells them no, or they get in it. Come on. And where there's no mentorship and there's no discipleship, then it's left up to your ship. And your ship sinks. Come on. Your ship's underwater. It's sinking. It's going down faster than the Titanic. Amen. So this morning, now this is kind of a long definition. Actually, I think it's going to take up two screens to get it to you. But I want to give you the definition of the word mentor, what it means. That way we can get it in our crawl here. It's a trusted guide. Everybody say a trusted guide. If you can't trust them, don't let them be a mentor. Amen? It means somebody who is a teacher or counselor or someone who invests their time, their wisdom, and their expenses into someone else's growth and development. Now put up the rest of that. They serve, everybody say serve. They serve as a source of encouragement, accountability, and insight, helping others navigate challenges to discover their potential. I like to call it your maximum potential. And that's what mentors who are real mentors want to do. Can I have a better amen? How many would like to have somebody in your life like that now? Well, they're out there. Now, they're not a whole lot out there because you don't hear thus much taught on from the Bible or you don't hear much of this. And you see more of this actually in the business world than you see in the church world. But what the business world done, somebody taught in the biblical principle of mentorship into the business world. They grabbed it and run with it, and they're seeing great success. And the church has kind of dropped it off and said, let's just do our own thing. We're our own people. And we've kind of flubbed it up. But we can always make up. Amen? Touch it every day. We can make up. Now, this next note is, I want you to write this one down, take a picture of it, whatever you need to do, because I think this is most important. Isolation is the devil's ground of manipulation. Woo! Let me say that again. Isolation is the devil's, not even that a word, it's the devil's playground of manipulation. If you want to get manipulated, try doing life all by yourself. Try shrinking yourself down to be a hermit and just kind of draw back from everybody. And I know the reason a lot of people do that, because people hurt you. Right. Things collapse all around us. But if you can't put yourself out there, you'll never know what you can go through. And even going through some of the bad times and sad times and mad times, creating you a character that if you turn to God will benefit you in the end. Amen. How can you operate in forgiveness if something's never happened to you? One of the key principles of the New Testament, Jesus says, forgive, 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 forgive. 70 times 7, forgive. Forgive them if you want to be forgiven, as your Heavenly Father has forgiven you. Forgive. Well, but if you run your whole life never taking a chance to be hurt or offended, then how are you ever going to operate in the gift of forgiveness? Think about it. Amen? So 2 Timothy real quick this morning. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1 and 2. Now watch this. This is Paul talking to his spiritual son Timothy here. Timothy, my dear son, he calls him a dear son right there. Everybody say, there it is.
There it is.
He tells him, be strong through the grace that God gives you in Christ Jesus. And then verse 2 goes on and says, you have heard me teach things that have been confirmed by many reliable witnesses. Now he's talking to Timothy here, his mentor. This is the mentor talking to the student here. Now teach these truths to other trustworthy people who will be able to pass them on to others. How do you think we got to where we're at right now with the Word of God? Faithful men begin to pour into other faithful men and women, of course. And then they begin to be faithful and pour in. If we lose one generation of teaching this, then this will cease to be taught. And we're in the shape as a nation and a people of today, and we're seeing the most ungodly displays of just vagrant sin, on public, like we're proud of our sin now in America, because this has not been passed down generation to generation like it once was. We've stopped mentoring Christians. We've stopped discipling them. We're just content, get saved, sit down, and give money.
Come on.
And just listen to what we tell you. I want you to be so sharp in the Bible that you don't need nothing but the Bible and God for your personal growth, but you need a church for the kingdom growth. Okay? Amen. Matter of fact, now watch what Paul says to the church of Corinthians in 1 Corinthians 11, 1. He tells them, now this is bold here. He says, guys, imitate me. The me there is Paul, not Jesus. Paul says, I am doing such a good job, I want you to imitate what I'm doing. Now, Paul's not saying that in a boastful manner, and he's not trying to get a following of himself. Because now if he'd have stopped there and said, guys, just imitate me, I'm all that in a bag of chips, then this would have never made the Bible. But what it follows it up with, look at the rest of that verse. Guys, imitate me as I also imitate Christ. Amen? Now what that does to Paul, it says, yes, I am a spiritual thing. God, I'm a spiritual father to some of you guys, your younger ones. But I'll tell you what, only imitate me as I imitate Jesus. If I ever am not doing anything in Jesus' character, don't imitate that with me. Because Paul was still in human flesh. So his instruction, even as a mentor, only follow me as you see me following Christ. And thank God, Paul did a pretty good job of following Christ. Wrote most of your New Testament. Amen? But real quickly this morning, I'm not going to take time to go over these. Just for the sake of time, you can look them up if you want to. But if just some biblical patterns and models. And again, this is just four of them that are some of my main ones I enjoy in the Bible. In Exodus chapter 33, Moses and Joshua are together. Joshua was the student. Moses was the mentor. He mentored Joshua. Can I have a better amen? Amen. And how many know Joshua become a much greater leader because of Moses' influence into his life? Right. Read it for yourself. I ain't got time to go there. But anyway, 2 Kings, you had Elijah and Elijah. And Elijah served Elijah all the way to the end of Elijah's life, and they did it so well that Elijah got a double portion of his mentor's anointing. Come on. Some of us, we ain't even going to get a single portion of anybody. Because we see mentorship as, well, you think I'm less and somebody can tell me something? Yes. Yes. That's exactly what we're saying. When I get around some of my mentors that are they're further along in the faith, I have done less than they've done, I know less than they know, and I'm not as good as they are. I don't have a problem with that. Now, I'm not staying where I'm at, and because of them, they are trying to raise me up. That's how it's supposed to work. But let me get news for you, and you may want to shed a little tear about this yourself if nobody's ever told you. You ain't arrived yet. You ain't all that in a bag of chips. You're still a work in progress. Amen. I'm still a work in progress. And until I draw my dying breath on planet Earth, I will always be a work in progress, wanting to learn to do better. Amen. Amen. And I think that's the problem. We don't have a desire for that anymore. We think it's, again, we think being mentored by somebody means we're less than and we're not good enough. And if that's you, bless your heart. Again, you're not that good. How many thinks they know everything about everything? Raise your hand. Now, be honest. Some of you are going to lie. So some of them are going to rat you out. Oh, no, they know everything about everything. Just ask me. I'll tell you. How many of you need no more lessons about anything in life? You know it all. Well, now, everybody's hand is not up. And if we're being honest and we really think we don't know it all, then why in the world would we be scared or afraid or embarrassed by having a mentor?
Right, that's right.
But because of pride, we'd rather stay in ignorance and not be at our maximum potential God has for us than to admit we need help. Leaders are horrible about saying they can't lead efficiently and they need help. I'll be the first one to tell you, as our church has grown, I've been calling out to people who has done it better than I have, done it longer than I have, going, help me. Our church has taken off, growing. We're looking to have to add on to the building. We're running, and I'll be honest with you, I'm 57 years young, okay? Young. I have never in my life experienced this until this past Sunday. I don't know if y'all know what took place in here this past Sunday. This past Sunday for me, and I've shared it with a lot of other pastors, and they said they've never heard it either. We had more people for Father's Day than we did Mother's Day.
That's right.
That never happened. Mother's Day is when school is in and everybody loves their mother. Father's Day is in the middle of summer. People are on vacation and half of them don't know who their daddy is. And a lot of them that knows who their daddy is don't even like that. Mother's Day, we had 386 people here. Father's Day, we had 409. Something is a stirring. Something's stirring up here on this mountain.
That's right.
And don't be afraid of it and be a part of it. Amen.
Amen.
But then you drop down, and again, just I've already really read this one. This is one of some of my, probably my favorite New Testament duo was Paul and Timothy. And as a matter of fact, if you notice in a different translation of 1 Timothy 1, chapter 1, verse 2, Paul calls Timothy, my dear son. Now, Timothy wasn't his son's son by birth, but he was a spiritual son. How many of you, you're not a spiritual son or daughter to anyone? You have no spiritual father. I've had an earthly father, and I have spiritual fathers. I have a heavenly father. I had a great earthly father, and still do. He's in heaven. And I have great spiritual fathers in the faith. You need three fathers. And if you don't have that, men and women, I feel for you. You need spiritual mothers. But how many here today say, I don't have a spiritual father or mother pouring into my life? And that's a sad situation. Every single person in here needs to say, I've got one or two of those.
Amen.
Come on. And then my last, and I say the greatest for last, pattern of mentorship in the Bible was Jesus and his disciples.
Yes.
Talk about a mentor. Who was your mentor? Jesus. Top that. Amen? But Jesus just did, he didn't just teach them. Now, everybody say he did teach them. But he didn't just give them a lesson. He mentored these 12 men that changed the world. Everybody say he mentored them. Now, see, something you need to understand about mentorship is not just a good idea. Mentorship is a God idea. Mentorship is God's plan for his people and his church to multiply the kingdom of God. Amen. I'm going to have a better amen.
Amen.
Yet again, so many people don't have this in their life to say they love God. So many people don't. A lot of people will even run from it. I don't want one in my life, because you don't want to face up to someone who's a real father or a real spiritual mother. Because we'll talk about some of the traits of that here in just a moment, okay? Touch your neighbor and ask them if they're okay. So let's cover real quickly. Go ahead and put up the next note. Why do I need a mentor? And the first reason is this right here. Look at this first one. For wisdom, you haven't lived yet. You haven't lived all the wisdom you're going to need for the rest of your life yet. But you know what? Somebody else has probably lived that. What you haven't went through yet, someone else has already been through. Amen? Now, most of the time, now don't box Jesus in. Most of the time, it's going to be from someone who has more years on planet Earth than you do. But not all the time. Sometimes it can be somebody around your age and maybe even younger that you know they've made it through something you've never been through. And so you can listen to both younger and older at the same time. Amen? Now, what I don't suggest is when you're in your 20s, you grab another 20-year-old. If you're in your 20s, don't grab somebody in their 20s to be your mentor. They may can be a good friend, it prays with you, studies the Bible with you, got a lot of influence. But as far as a mentor, about all of life and relationships and friendships and finances and money and experiences, another 20-year-old ain't got that. You need to be rocking somebody in their 40s or 50s. Come on, or older, preferably. But the problem we got now is we got 20-year-olds trying to mentor 20-year-olds. And 25, men are 25. Now again, they can be a good spiritual draw, but they can't tell you about raising kids. They might can tell you about having a baby, because they got one too, but they can't tell you how to raise a child, because they ain't raised one themselves. Amen? So you need to find somebody that has raised some kids and get around them. Get you some wisdom. 20-year-olds don't know that much about the stock market. Amen? Most of them don't. And most of them, if they do know something about it, they ain't been in it long enough to see the highs and the lows and the falls and how to handle that. So what do you need to do? You need to find somebody who's went through that. That just, again, listen to me, folks. That just almost makes too much common sense for us to grab. But it's amazing to me. No, I'm going to do my own thing. Well, let me know how that works out for you. And you wonder why you're frustrated and you're disappointed and there's failures every time you turn around. And it's because you don't have a mentor speaking into your life. Oh, it'll bless you. Turn to your neighbor and say, it'll bless you. They have insight and done things that you haven't even reached to yet. Deuteronomy, that's the one we talked about last week. A lot of men can't say. I don't know if I pronounced it right, but I'm going to go with it. Chapter 6, verse 6 and 7. And these words which I command you today shall be in your what? And watch this one. What are you going to do with them? Next verse, it says, and you shall teach them diligently to your children, and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, and when you rise up. In other words, someone has poured into you. You are to take it to heart, and you are to pour into someone else. That's how this spirit of multiplication begins to take place with the kingdom of God. Can I have a better amen?
Amen.
Amen. Now, the next thing why you need a mentor is this right here. And this is the one we don't like. I picked one you like, one you don't like, one you like, one you don't like. So I'm giving you 50-50 here, okay? We don't like this one. Correction in love. That's probably the number one reason, along with number four here in just a moment, of why we don't want true spiritual mentors. Because a true spiritual mentor, you're subjecting yourself for correction, but it must be done. If you're the mentor, it needs to be done in love. Because if you don't get the right one, if you don't get the God-type mentor in your life, your mentor will take advantage of you. If you don't submit yourself, you will take advantage of your mentor and not listen. Okay? But when you find a God doing something there, it benefits both parties. Can I have a better amen there?
Amen.
Now, see, what a good mentor is going to do, he or she's going to tell you the truth no matter how it sounds to you. You want to honor the young lady? Don't have sex with her. A true mentor will tell you that. The world will tell you to get it while you can. I'm just being real with you. But if you've got a spiritual mentor that says you want to honor her, you say you love her, but will you honor her? And it doesn't matter how she acts, and she may even instigate, but you don't go there because you're a man of God. Come on. Mentorship does that. And you can tell America doesn't have a lot of mentorship in it. They'll talk about the hard things. Proverbs chapter 27, verse 6. Wounds from a sincere friend are better than many kisses of an enemy. Somebody tweet that or whatever you call it now, or X that or whatever. Put that on the gram or whatever it's called now. Words from a sincere friend, a mentor, somebody who's pouring into you, loves you enough to tell you the truth. It's better than getting kissed from your enemy and watching you go down with the ship. Got to move on pretty quick today. The third one, now we like this one from our mentors. I told you, one good, one not so good, one we like, one we don't. So here's the next one you like. Encouragement for the journey of life you're going to take. They're there to cheer you on. They're there to encourage you. They're there to tell you, don't give up, don't give out, don't give in. Can I have a better amen there?
Amen.
Now watch this in Psalms chapter 78, verse 4. We will not hide these truths from our children. We will tell the next generation about the glorious deeds of the Lord, about his power and his mighty wonders. They're going to tell you, man, God is glorious, guys. He did this for us. He'll do it for you. You need to be pouring in right now what's happening on this mountain to the next generation and getting them encouraged to say, don't give up, don't give out, don't give in. God's going to come through. The Bible says there'll be wars and rumors of wars, but he's over his people. You're going to make it. You're going to be okay. We lack that part of mentorship. Tell me the good news. Tell me what I want to hear. Amen? And the last one, you need a mentor because you need accountability for growth. And we don't like accountability. We don't like it. Listen to me now. Growth never happens in isolation. Because isolation is what? The devil's playground for manipulation. You isolate yourself, you'll grow, but you won't grow in God. You'll grow in doubt. You'll grow in anger. You'll grow in frustrations. You'll grow in accusations. You'll grow in pity party. So just go ahead and isolate yourself from everybody, isolate yourself from the church, and you can, like I said, you can be married but not be in a marriage. You can come to church but not be a part of the church. You can be a church and not be a part of the kingdom. You can have a house but not a home. You can isolate yourself around 1,000 people simply by being there but not letting nobody in and not sharing with anybody. That you also have doubts and you have fears and you have frustrations and you put on a facade like I got it all together. The two number one answers to the question is, how you doing? There's two number one answers tied. I'm tired or I'm fine. And most of the time, oh, I'm fine. No, you're not. 90% of the time, you just lied. You're going through some stuff. Now, there are times, to be honest with you, you are fine. That's good. Enjoy that time. But know this, if you lived a Monday, it's coming again. Amen? Turn to your neighbor and say, Monday's on the way. But see, a mentor is going to tell you, yeah, Monday's on the way, but you know what? God's already in your Monday. So don't be worried about your Mondays. Get up Monday and say, devil, you done messed up. I done got up. Yeah, it needs to be every time you get out of bed, the devil goes, oh, no, he or she's up again. They think to wear my kingdom out around them. Whew, come on now. And, of course, what we would call the cornerstone verse for mentorship is Proverbs chapter 27, verse 17. As iron sharpens iron, so another man sharpens the countenance of his friend. Man, what a verse. And iron sharpens iron by clashing and scraping and pulling and heat and sparks fly. And that's how you get sharp. You don't get sharp laying on a satin pillow. Come on. You get sharp by being put in the fire and iron against iron and hammer and wedge and pulling and scraping it across the stone of the honing stone to hone that fine edge on there. You're sharp, but sometimes there has to be a grinding away of something to get you to what God wants you to cut. Amen. Well, so I got a question for you this morning. Who's sharpening you this morning? Who's sharpening you? Who's helping you to see the blind spots? It's up there. And who's calling out the anointings of God inside of you? Do you know how much anointing is inside every born-again believer? And they have no one in their life to call it out of them. And it'll lay dormant until you die. Because you never released yourself to someone to speak into your life and begin to call those anointings out of you. And they're in there waiting to be released. And some of you don't even see it yourself. That's why a mentor sometimes will see things in you you don't even see in yourself. And they begin to call them out. And they begin to encourage you in these things. And you're like, I can't do it. And that mentor says, it's in you. Yeah. I've seen people who are petrified to stand right here. And I put them in a position of voluntold. You're going up. Just go up. You'll be fine. And you know what? Every time they got up here, it came out of them and they killed it. Man, that was awesome. But until someone calls that out in you and gets you out of that comfort zone to take you to that next level. You got so many next levels in you, it is incredible. But somebody's going to have to call them out of you. Because you're not going to just release them on your own. And that's why you need that in your life, because God needs you in your maximum potential. And not only does God need you in your maximum potential, other people around you need your maximum potential. Again, listen to me. All the gifts and the anointings of God that gets called out of you, listen, they're not for you. They are not for you. They're for everybody around you. Better amen on that. Amen. Now, let me go ahead and make this one. Go ahead. When you understand the value of a mentor, it results in you becoming a mentor to others. I've never seen it not happen when it's God. Then when somebody has a true spiritual father or mother in the faith, a mentor, that they themselves at some point in time begin to develop that mother-fathering spirit that was shown to them, and they begin to pour into somebody else. And the reason we don't have a lot of that going in, again, is we're not submitted to a mentorship ourselves. Therefore, we cannot mentor what we don't know. You can't give what you don't have. Well, I got knowledge in the Bible, and I got, yeah, you got some knowledge, but you're not authorized. Because you haven't sat under a class to be authorized yourself. You are desperately needed. Some of us, you're in here later. You've got 4 years behind you than you do ahead of you. And the people that are behind you that needs you to step into your role, but you can't step into that role. And let me tell you, I don't care how old you are in here. When I reach 97, 98 years old, I'm still going to have a mentor. I'll have to probably have some younger ones. But I'm still going to need a mentor in my life, and I'm still going to have one. But I promise you, I'm also going to have this branch over here going if I'm still can. I'm going to be pouring into other people. Can I have a better amen there?
Amen.
So who's calling out those anointings? Amen? But you've got to become what you want in your life. And go ahead and put up the next note on that. Mentorship doesn't stop with just receiving. It continues by you giving. It flows in. Therefore, it should flow out. Oh, I found me a good mentor. Well, again, that mentor is to raise you up to where it now flows through you, where you raise someone up. That's how the kingdom of God was designed to multiply through discipleship of mentorism.
Right.
Whew. Are y'all okay? I know this is a little bit different kind of sermon maybe, but I'm telling you, it is very key to what we're going through right now that we just don't come enjoy the spoils of the blessings of God at this church, but that we understand we've got a responsibility to steward what God's doing up here. And in order for that to happen, we've got to have some mature saints speak in to some people who are here, and it doesn't matter what level you own, everybody needs it. And if you think you don't need it, you need to get saved. Amen? Because your stories, your struggles, your lessons in life is designed to help someone else before they get there. Not when they're there, but before they get there. Amen? So don't just be mentored, be a mentor at a certain... Now, here, let me just preface this real quickly. If you follow into this message and you ask God, Lord, send me some mentors, more than one, I would suggest about 3 to 5, okay? 3 really close ones, 2 that are kind of distant, maybe. All right. Lord, give me that in my life. Everybody say, give me that in my life. If you do that and you start getting mentored, don't go out in about 2 months and go, well, I'm a mentor now to somebody else. Y'all line them up. I have arrived already in 2 months. Take 2 years. I would say probably at least 3, because Jesus was in ministry for 3 years. Paul was at Cornelius' house probably, we know of probably around the 3-year time frame. So 3 years, I wouldn't even attempt to mentor nobody until about 3 years of good mentorship myself. Now, if God can change that in your life, absolutely fine. I'm not saying you got to follow that, but I'm saying don't try to get out and be something that you've not completed your course. And you'll never complete the fullness of your course. But how many know there's a time when you got to be released too? Amen? So, now, I want to close with this today. Jesus was and is the ultimate mentor. Hands down. And I ask this a lot of places and a lot of things that I do, and even over things. Who's mentoring you? And this is mostly to Christians. Do you know what the number one answer is when they don't have a real mentor? In the earthly realm? Come on. What do you think the answer is going to be? If I ask you, who's your mentor? Jesus. Oh, Jesus, my mentor. Or if they're real spiritual, well, the Holy Spirit mentors me. Come on. Yes. That's true. But if the Holy Spirit has not told you you need somebody else in your life from reading the Bible, then you are not understanding the Holy Spirit. And if you think you're to the point where no other human being can teach you anything, then you think you are the Holy Spirit. I love y'all. And in case no one has ever told you, get the tissue out for your other eye. You are not the Holy Spirit. And whether you realize it or not, you have things you need to learn. And see, the thing about the Holy Spirit will direct you to other people of faith. The whole Bible is full of it. If it was just the Holy Spirit, then he wouldn't need anybody else. But the Holy Spirit uses and God uses people in the earth to accomplish His will.
Right.
Now, I know what the fear of this is. Okay, I'm going to put this person up as a mentor, then they're going to let me down and they're going to do that. And that can happen. And that's where you have enough sense with the Holy Spirit to discern right from wrong. Just like Paul says, only imitate me as I imitate Jesus.
Right.
Okay? I don't care who you have as a mentor, they're still wrapped up in human flesh. And they're not perfect. Now, the ones that are in my life, I look up to them tremendously. But if they come at me and said, you know, God has enlightened us that we can get to heaven through coexisting with Buddha and Muhammad and all this, I'm going to say, like, I still honor you as a man of God, but you're kind of losing your way. And we need to meet more often. Because we need to go through scriptures and show me this in scriptures. I'm not going to just walk away from them if they're a true mentor. I'm going to try to help as much as I can back to them. But if they just totally renounce the faith and do that, then I'll walk away with respectfully honoring them while I walk away.
Right.
And I'll be praying for them. Because I know they're still wrapped up in human flesh, and the devil's got a big mark on anyone who wants to be a mentor. You know why? Because he wants you to mess up the next generation in Jesus. Okay, he does. He wants mentors to mess up the next generation. That's why when you become a mentor, it's no small task to mentor somebody up in the faith, because you are subject to your flesh still. Okay? That's why you need a mentor as you mentor. Does that make sense? That's why you need to be accountable over here while you're trying to hold people accountable over here. It's quiet in this Presbyterian church this morning. Put up the last note. Jesus didn't just give commands. He invited people into his relationship. Now, let me say this about relationship. And again, this is personal. Come on, say it's personal. This is my personal opinion. I cannot say that God cannot do it different in your life. I just know what he's called me into with mentors. I want to be a semi-friend of them and have fellowship with them. I do not want any of my mentors to be my best friend. I do not want that. And I will purposely distance at times from that and tell them up front, I don't want to be your bestie. And I've had several people, even other pastors, look at me and go, what is wrong with you? You need to let them be your best friend. I said, no, I want that camaraderie and friendship and love and grace and passion and mercy, yes, from them. And we can share a meal every once in a while together. But I don't want to be on the phone with them every single day. I don't want a vacation with them all the time. No. And they're like, why not? Because I don't want a friendship anointing. I don't want their friendship anointing. I want the man and woman of God anointing in my life. In other words, I don't want to be so close to them if they see me making mistakes that they're going to be, well, we're too good of friends, and I don't want to mess, you know. I want them to be able to say, hey, you're, looks to me right now, it looks like you're walking on a fine edge here. You need to be pulled back. And a friend to maintain the friendship may not do that. Now, I want to speak real quickly, and I'm going to try to do it quickly as they come on up. Real quickly, especially if you ever desire to go into ministry, and get under a denomination, and you should be under someone if you're going to be a minister and have accountability. I believe in that wholeheartedly. But, well, this is where I struggle a little bit. And it's in all different phases of operation in a lot of different ministries and denominations and things of that nature. And I'm not trying to be rude or crude here, okay? I love to give honor to all people who are serving God, no matter what's going on, okay? As long as they're serving God. But there are organizations and individuals who will say, you will come under my anointing and be my spiritual son or daughter, and but you're going to have to send me $1,000 a month for that to happen. Come on. You're going to have to pay me if you want my mentorship and my covering. Can I tell you to run from that? I know this is not popular preaching with ministries that do this. But the anointing and the ministry of God is not for sale. Not got a sales price. The price has already been paid. Now, if they're requiring it to be under them, then just say, ah, that's okay, I'm good. I don't care how big are their ministry looks and how many miracles they say they're doing or whatever. How are you going to correct someone that you're depending to pay your next boat or your car off? Are you going to really bring the correction they need to hear and risk losing that $1,000 or $10,000 a month? Come on. It's going to be real hard to correct that person and think, well, I'm going to lose their money if I get on them. If I correct them or if I set them down, well, they're going to pull back and leave. And I don't want to lose that money, so I'm going to tell them, well, why don't you just come? I'll lay hands on you and pray for you. And brother, this is to make sure it stays between us. But you keep on rocking and keep on sending me the money. God help us. Now, we'll say this. If you want to bless them, if you and God says, hey, bless them, pray about it again. And if you still feel it's God and it's something you want to do and they don't ask, then you're free to do that. And God will honor that. But don't ever, well, again, that's up to you. My opinion is, my advice, don't ever get into somebody that says, if you're going to be a part of me, you got to pay this much. You owe me for this. Now, I know in organizational things, sometimes there's a fee to be a part of it. I'm not talking about it. I'm talking about you're giving to that personal individual. Be very careful of that. And I know it's not predominant in churches like ours, but I'm telling you, it's predominant in a lot of churches. Yes. Of different cultures and things like that, it's very predominant in there. Jesus is the ultimate thing, and he didn't charge a person. Come on. Jesus walked with his disciples. He ate with them. He prayed with them. And he empowered them. Come on. Everybody say, that's Jesus. That's good stuff. But let me tell you what Jesus also did. He corrected them. He rebuked them. Because he loved them. And he knew they needed to grow up in this area. And they couldn't get it no other way than to get corrected and rebuked. How many know what that feels like? Amen? Let's stand to our feet. I hope this word of God today encourages you to begin to think on that and begin to pray on it and ask God for a mentor or two or three, like I said. A mentor, though, make sure you check this off. A mentor is not a perfect person, but they're a present person in your life. They're not perfect, but they serve a perfect God. Okay? Find someone that's ahead of you in things. Amen? Someone you can learn from. And when you begin to find those, begin to find some that are behind you that you can pour into. When you feel released. And if you will ask your mentor when you need to be released in that, he or she will probably give you, okay, we'll be praying about it. When we feel that God tells us to release you, we'll release you. And wait for them to release you. Don't try to do it on your own. Well, that's a whole lot of trust to put in somebody. Uh-huh. That's why you don't take this stuff lightly. But that is why when you get this in your life, you will advance amazingly fast. And don't wear your mentor out when you get them. They still have a life they need to live. And that's what we seem to get. Now, I'm going to kind of close with this. Oh, I got me a mentor. I'm going to call him or her every day, 3 times a day. I'm going to expect him to be at my house for everything. I'm going to expect him to go on vacation with me. I'm going to expect him to be everything I need him to be. You ain't wanting a mentor. You're not wanting a spiritual father. Oh, I want a spiritual father. Yeah, right up until the point that spiritual father begins to tell you what you're doing wrong, and all of a sudden you'd be amazed. All of a sudden, well, that's not a God. You're not a God no more. Come on. We all like the blessings as long as it's what we want. But when a spiritual father steps in and begins to correct you, nobody likes correction except a true child of God that has faith in what God has put in their life and knows that that person wants them to succeed as much as they want to succeed. And if they see you doing something wrong, they call you out on it in love. Not to hammer you, but to make you better. This is not an exciting message, I know, to hear. You're not going to, woohoo! Praise the Lord! But you ought to be. And you ought to be pouring into this. Amen? Let's bow our heads. This morning, no matter where you're at, the first mentor you need in your life is Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit and the Father. And if you've never accepted them as your personal Lord and Savior, I'm going to ask you to lift your hand right now. Just lift it up with no strings attached this morning. Give your heart to Christ. And he will begin to put you in his kingdom on earth. And he'll begin to surround you by some people. And if you pray into this, he's going to begin to show you who you need to have in your life as a mentor, a spiritual mother, a spiritual father, spiritual grandparents. Anybody need to get saved in here this morning? Now, how many would by the raising of your hand in just a moment, would say, according to scriptures today, the word of God, I need some mentors in my life. Raise your hand if you believe the scriptures today. And I want to ask you to lift your other hand up. Leave that hand up. That today you will make a commitment to begin to pray and ask God for that. That's all I'm asking of you today, is that you will acknowledge the scriptures, want you to have a mentor in this earthly realm, and that you'll begin to ask the Father to show you these ways, and that you'll be open to it, and that if you decide you want to go down, okay, you can put your hands down, and if you decide to go that route, that you will begin to study up on what a mentor is and what someone being mentored does, and we're going to talk about that in the next time. But Father, I just pray right now over all of us that you show yourself mighty. And Lord, you do that through your Son and the Holy Spirit, yes. But Lord, so often you do it through encounters we have with people. And they don't have to maybe be our personal mentor, but we come into counter with them and we recognize they have an anointing and a love and a grace on them. And we may only glean from them maybe in that one time we meet them, but discipleship happened there because we learned from their love and their grace and their power. And others we may be around for a week or two or have access to a month. But Lord, we all have that person. We need to be able to have that 2 o'clock true emergency phone call with that we know is there for us. It'll pick it up. So Father, we thank you for the mentors that are out there and the ones that are out there that have not been activated yet. But I believe this word today is an activation word, and we're going to see results from it, and your kingdom is going to expand from it and multiply. So Lord, we thank you for this awesome privilege today of your word, the awesome privilege of understanding it on this level that we have today, God, to activate it into your kingdom through our lives. There's not a single person drawing breath that we meet that we can't learn something from. From the CEO to the janitor, everybody has something we can glean from if we just pay attention. Lost and saved alike. So, Lord, we give you glory for what you're surrounding us with. And we're going to start looking for the heaven, open heaven in everything that we do. And as we begin to receive, we're also going to be able to look to where we can pour out in due season. So, Father, we thank you for the seed that's dropped today on us. May we put it in good ground, and may it spring up 30, 60, and 100-fold, all for your kingdom and your glory. In Jesus' name, let the church say, amen. Come on, can you give me my hand clap this morning? Amen. Hallelujah. All right, we're going to receive this morning's tithes and offerings. Say, yeah. If you are here from another church, you do not give to this church. We're so honored that you're with us today. Your tithe goes back with you to your church if you go back there Wednesday or Sunday morning. But for us here, this is, everybody say, this is good ground. Good ground. How many of you notice we got more parking for you? Your giving did that. Your giving made that happen faster than what we could even think of, okay? And so we're going to pray over that. Our prayer team will be up here to pray with you again about anything. Everybody say anything. If you came up a while ago, if you didn't come up and you need something, why would you leave here and not get prayer? I've just never understood that. But anyway, let's pray over our tithes and offerings, our prayer team. And then if you're here for the first time, I'd love to meet you real quickly in a little welcome center over here. Father, thank you for what you're doing. Because there's never been a moment since time existed and you created the stars and the heavens that you have not been doing nothing. Yes, you sat down and you rested on the seventh day, but your mind was still toward us. You were thinking about our future. You knew we'd be here at this appointed time. You've never not had us in your thoughts. And Lord, you've got people around us and surrounding us for a reason, Lord, sometimes good and bad. But Lord, we look to give you all the glory for everything in life, God. We give you praise for, God, and we walk according to your calling and purpose in our lives. And Lord, we just ask your blessings on all these people that come, got prayer this morning, that seed take root and that healing come forth in Jesus' name. And we don't doubt, we walk by faith and we continue to declare it until we actually physically do see it manifest. And some of it was this morning, it did manifest. Some of it may be tonight. Lord, we again, you are God, but we believe without a shadow of a doubt, we are healed by the stripes of Jesus. Now let's say this to me, say, bless your tithe that you've allowed me to have. I bring it with a glad heart and I present it with joy. Multiply it for your kingdom. Continue to steward and grow this place. And bless the 90 that you allow me to keep. I declare favor over it. That everything I do shows multiplication for your kingdom. In Jesus' mighty name. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Come on, church. Lift up.
Thank you for watching or listening to the Journey Church Message Replay. Be sure to hit the like and share buttons below to help us spread this message. We would love to connect with you. Leave us a comment, or for more in-depth conversations about what you just heard, you can contact us by clicking the email link in the notes below. And be sure to check us out online and on social media just by searching Journey Church Eva. Now that you have been empowered by God's Word, go make a difference in your world today.